This Morning, America's First News starts right after this. When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to geico.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This Morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Comey takes the stand. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koshenka, Friday, June 9. Welcome aboard. Here's what's up this hour.
In roughly 3 hours of testimony on Capitol Hill, former FBI Director James Comey recounted his meetings with President Trump. We'll have analysis from Washington.
British Prime Minister Theresa May says she has no intention of stepping down after her decision to hold a snap election backfired.
In sports, the Penguins blew out the Predators for a 3-2 series lead in the Stanley Cup Finals. While in basketball, the Warriors can capture another NBA title with a win this evening in Cleveland.
And millennials driving a surge in age-old crafts like bartender and butcher.
They have been reworked in a way, revalued in a way by sort of a millennial college-educated population to serve a more affluent group of consumers.
Wall Street Journal reporter Lauren Weber on the renewed interest in old-time jobs among young, middle-class urbanites. She's here in about 20 minutes. Former FBI Director James Comey says he felt he'd been directed by President Trump to drop an investigation into Mike Flynn, even though at the same time he admitted the words, "I hope," did not indicate an order to end the probe.
I don't think it's for me to say whether the conversation I had with the president was an effort to obstruct. I took it as a very disturbing thing, very concerning, but that's a conclusion I'm sure the special counsel will work towards.
We also learned that Mr. Comey leaked notes to the media about his interactions with Mr. Trump, hoping that sharing the information would prompt the appointment of a special counsel to investigate the administration over possible links to Russia. Here's Florida Republican Senator Marco Rubio.
I was, quite frankly, impressed by his honesty. Yeah, that's the first time I've ever seen a witness come before Congress and admit they leaked something through an intermediary to get it through the press.
Mr. Comey also acknowledged that he repeatedly told Mr. Trump that he was not personally under investigation, but was not willing to say that publicly. Another item, Mr. Comey said it was a meeting between former President Bill Clinton and then Attorney General Loretta Lynch that prompted him to go public with Hillary Clinton's email probe last July. Well, as mentioned before, some of yesterday's testimony is a he said, she said. Mark Kasowitz, the president's personal attorney, disputed Mr. Comey's assertion that the president had indicated he wanted the FBI to back off its investigation of former National Security Advisor Mike Flynn.
The president never suggested that Mr. Comey, quote, let Flynn go, close quote.
He also criticized government officials who are, as he said, actively attempting to undermine this administration with selective and illegal leaks of classified information and privileged communications.
Mr. Comey has now admitted that he is one of these leakers.
Mr. Kasowitz also highlighted Mr. Comey's statement that Mr. Trump was not personally the subject of the Russia probe during Mr. Comey's tenure. Let's get some analysis now from Olivier Knox, Chief Washington Correspondent at Yahoo News. Olivier, your thoughts.
I thought one of the most interesting parts was Jim Comey, who really knows how to perform in these situations, kind of laying out descriptions of his back and forth with President Trump about the investigation into fired National Security Advisor Michael Flynn. There's a big debate right now ongoing among lawyers and non-lawyers alike. Did the president's behavior rise to the level of obstruction of justice? Now, we should note the White House denies Comey's account of this meeting, in which supposedly Donald Trump said, asked Jim Comey to let it go, let Flynn go.
Mm-hmm.
You heard Comey today lay out sort of an argument for intent, which is vital to proving obstruction of justice. He described other senior aides expecting something big, even as they were being asked to leave the Oval Office, leaving Comey and the president alone. He said that a couple different times, a couple different ways, and that would be important because if they were all expecting something, if they all knew something was up, that might go to intent. That was very important. I would direct your listeners, though, to the Intelligence Committee hearing on Wednesday, where the acting FBI director, McCabe, was asked at one point, why won't you discuss your conversations with Jim Comey? Is it because Comey's conversations with the president either are or might be the subject of a criminal investigation? And McCabe said yes. I think that's a much more significant thing.
Didn't Comey say that Trump did not try to obstruct justice, or he felt that he was not trying to do that?
No, Comey explicitly left that up to Bob Mueller, the special counsel, on multiple occasions. He did not come down one way or another on obstruction of justice. What he said was that he took the president's remarks as a directive to pare back, to drop the investigation, but he can't make that finding himself. So he basically said the special counsel is going to look into that. The special counsel is going to look into alleged collusion between the Trump campaign and the Russians. He basically left a lot to Bob Mueller, whom he praised to the skies during this hearing.
Yeah. He came out hard, too, right? Called Trump a liar in the opening remarks. But I got a question, too. Was the length of this appearance indicative of the amount that was going on? Like, I thought this was going to go all day.
Well, you know, he then went into a classified session, a closed session, with the members of the committee. It could be. I'm trying to explain to people, this is, for all the drama, for all the media circus, this is, in some ways, a blip. This is a snapshot. This is a moment in time. This is a daily poll during the campaign. We have ongoing investigations. We have congressional investigations. We have Mueller going on. This is a piece of the puzzle, but it's only a piece. Mm. And I think what's happening away from us, away from the cameras, is a lot more significant.
We're speaking with Olivier Knox, chief Washington correspondent at Yahoo News, getting his take on the testimony by former FBI Director James Comey. How about the bombshell that the former Attorney General Loretta Lynch had asked Mr. Comey to call the Clinton email probe a matter, not an investigation?
Yep, absolutely. So one of the interesting things that happened during this hearing is how much stuff that's been reported, citing anonymous sources, is now you can now put it in the mouth of James Comey. That was a significant moment because the Attorney General's language resembled that of the Clinton campaign, and actually Comey testified to this. He said basically, look, she wanted me to call it a matter, not an investigation, which was a little confusing, but I noted that that this sounds like the Clinton campaign. He also confirmed, and I think we knew this already actually from a hearing in early May, that former President Bill Clinton's meeting with Loretta Lynch on that airport tarmac sort of sealed the deal for him, forced him to go out and to speak publicly about his investigation.
So he showed a little faith in the media, too, I guess, or at least some of the media.
Smacked us around a little bit. Everyone does. This was also an interesting point. He referred specifically to a New York Times piece that had alleged significant collusion between the Trump campaign and Russian officials. That account had referred to electronic intercept surveillance and the rest of it. And Comey really just blew that thing full of holes. He disclosed that he went to senior intelligence officials and said, you know, is there anything to this? And they said, no. He went to Congress to tell Congress this is not a true story. That was not a good day for the author of that piece.
Nice. Olivier Knox, chief Washington correspondent at Yahoo News. 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Friday. The House has voted for a sweeping overhaul of the rules governing Wall Street, with designs for encouraging economic growth by loosening regulation of the financial sector. We get more from This Morning's Dave Duncan.
The Republican bill is the first successful attempt at replacing the Dodd-Frank law. That said, it is unlikely to become law because it isn't expected to earn enough support in the Senate. The main trade-off, banks can win significant regulatory relief if they maintain a so-called leverage ratio of 10%, meaning they must fund every $100 of loans or investments with at least $10 of equity, as opposed to borrowed money such as deposits. The bill would also force failing banks into bankruptcy rather than a liquidation process. Gordon?
Thank you, Dave. It's 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Former FBI Director James Comey testified before Congress on alleged efforts by President Trump to influence the investigation into Russia's meddling in the presidential election. The key issue before the Senate Intelligence Committee was whether Trump sought to obstruct the investigation in 9 conversations with Comey this year, leading up to his dismissal of the FBI chief on May 9th. Comey says he knew the whole thing would come down to his word against the president, so he started writing memos of their meetings. He was also asked about Trump's claim that there were tapes.
I was playing in my mind, what should my response be? And that's why I very carefully chose the words. And look, I've seen the tweet about tapes. Lordy, I hope there are tapes.
Comey says he began documenting his conversations with the president because of what he called the nature of the person. Republican Congressman Trey Gowdy, who led a two-year investigation into the deadly 2012 attacks in Benghazi, Libya, is set to take over leadership of the House Oversight Committee, replacing Utah's Jason Chaffetz, who's leaving Congress at the end of the month. Gowdy, an outspoken critic of the Obama administration, will now lead oversight of the Trump administration. In the big book of political blunders, Theresa May's decision to hold a snap election to solidify her Brexit mandate will rank among the most memorable. The British Prime Minister was cruising along 2 months ago with a solid majority in Parliament, but she lost that in yesterday's election.
Whatever the results are, the Conservative Party will ensure that we fulfil our duty in ensuring that stability so that we can all, as one country, go forward together.
May can no longer command enough seats to avoid a hung parliament, meaning that no party has enough lawmakers to establish control. And here's something to consider before you eat out of the office today. The average person forks over $11.14 twice a week for lunch. Now, Visa says if you redirected that money, which would average $1,043 a year, into an investment account earning 6%, you'd save $88,500 in 30 years.
Wow. That's a big number just for dropping lunch a couple times a week.
So bring your PB&J from home.
Wow. Very good.
And save your money.
Thanks, Jen. 22 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
You don't often find the words business and friendly in the same sentence, let alone the same state. Unless, of course, you're talking about Michigan. Michigan's business-friendly practices help them become a leader in industries that range from agriculture and cybersecurity to aerospace and defense. In fact, Michigan is ranked among the top 10 states for major new and expanded facilities, which makes Michigan more than business-friendly. It makes Michigan business smart. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org.
Gentrification isn't just taking place in working-class neighborhoods. It's happening to jobs, too. Wall Street Journal reporter Lauren Weber says in cities large and small, you'll find stylish cocktail bars, barbers, and the occasional butcher shop staffed by young, college-educated employees. In addition, these jobs have been revalued from low-status, semi-manual labor to glamorous occupations. Lauren, what have you found?
Well, if you live in an urban area or you visit an urban area and you walk around some of the hip or gentrifying neighborhoods in them, most people will notice that there's this resurgence of butcher shops and cocktail bars and even barber shops that these are kind of old school professions, but they have been reworked in a way, revalued in a way by sort of a millennial college-educated population to serve a more affluent group of consumers. So there's this trend that's happening. It's almost like making old-time jobs artisanal, crafty, more glamorous again. So a sociologist here in New York City studied this phenomenon and tried to understand why young people are getting interested in those jobs.
Right. All right, so what did he come up with?
There are a lot of different pieces to it. One is, which I found really interesting, I hadn't thought of before I spoke to him, but we live in this increasingly digital world. More and more jobs are not done with your hands. There's a certain ephemerality to all of this. And these are young people who seem to be attracted to jobs where you're using your hands and your skills, you know, you're not sitting in front of a computer screen all day. Your skills are they're somewhat manual and they're very public in a way, like a bartender making a drink. So they're available for people to see what you're doing and to kind of admire the level of skill and knowledge that goes into what you're doing.
Wow. So this is different from a bartender or a butcher or a barber in the past?
To some extent it is. I mean, a lot of the skills are similar, but there are some subtle differences, and one is more attention to kind of the ethics around these kinds of jobs. So a lot of these new kinds of artisanal butcher shops, they're looking at local meats, and they're using the whole animal, and the idea is not to waste anything. And also on passing along that knowledge to the consumer, so sort of passing along the ethics and the philosophies behind different ways of using the meat that we eat, or how to make a cocktail using spirits that have been concocted in a very, you know, very specific way, maybe using local, you know, all local ingredients and things like that.
Wow. We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Lauren Weber about her story entitled Why Old-Timey Jobs Are Hot Again. All right. So I think you referenced it before. This is millennials demanding it. And are millennials supplying this too?
Yes. And, you know, it may not only be millennials, probably the first people who started these, the cocktail bars, you know, 10 or 15 years ago that started this craft cocktail movement.
Yeah.
We're not necessarily millennials, but it's been taken up by, you know, younger urban residents, probably mostly millennials.
Thanks, Lauren. Wall Street Journal reporter Lauren Weber. It's 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Small business never stops moving, so Dell's U.S.-based small business technology advisors are trained to keep up. Just call 877-BUY-DELL to get connected with an advisor who will get to know your business and tailor a solution with Dell PCs powered by Intel Core processors that is right for you, so you can focus on your business and leave the tech questions to Dell. Call 877-BUY-DELL to get in touch with a tech advisor today.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show, like us on Facebook, or send us an email, thismorning@compassmedianetworks.com.
Glad you could be with us. It is Friday, June 9. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koschenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. No knockout blows during the testimony from the former FBI director, but a bizarre medieval reference by James Comey when he said, quote, "Will no one rid me of this meddlesome priest?" Hung British Parliament after yesterday's snap vote. Warriors can win the NBA championship tonight. USA Soccer wins a critical World Cup qualifier over Trinidad and Tobago. Streaker on the field at the Brewers game yesterday. And how the dollar is losing prominence in hip-hop songs. That story in about 20 minutes. Former FBI Director James Comey has had quite the reversal of fortune in the eyes of many Democrats over the course of the past year. It's a story from James Antle, politics editor at the Washington Examiner. Jim, what do you have?
The line that a lot of Democrats took was that he was interfering in the election as much as Russia was. Now, because Comey has been willing to testify, in effect, against President Trump, a lot of these Democrats who despised him and vilified him and viewed him as a meddler of sorts in the election himself are kind of welcoming him as this big hero and this bold truth teller and rehabilitating him as a dedicated public servant willing to speak truth to power against Donald Trump and stand up for the Russia investigation.
Boy, whatever's convenient, right? When it comes to politics.
There does seem to be some pretty transparent opportunism going on here, yeah.
Wow. All right, so then we turn to Thursday's testimony by Mr. Comey on Capitol Hill before the Senate Intelligence Committee.
Right.
How would you say Democrats are feeling after that?
Well, you know, it's funny. I mean, everybody seems to have dug into their respective positions, and Comey's testimony had a little bit for everybody. So I think both Democrats and Republicans came away feeling a little bit more confident in the beliefs they already had. So for Democrats, I think the key takeaway was that Comey felt he was fired over the Russia investigation, that he said in no uncertain terms that Trump was pressuring him. He felt that he was ordered to drop the Mike Flynn probe investigation, even though those weren't the exact words by Comey's own account that the president used. And he called Trump a liar multiple times and said that Trump was an unusual figure that he felt that he had to take special precautions with, you know, really detailed notes that he didn't really take in his more limited conversations with President Obama.
Yeah.
So those are the real big takeaways, I think, for the Democrats.
We're speaking with Jim Antle, politics editor at the Washington Examiner, talking about his piece entitled James Comey Goes from Zero to Hero with Democrats, also getting his analysis of the testimony on Capitol Hill on Thursday. The Democrats had to be squirming, though, when Mr. Comey talked about the former Attorney General Loretta Lynch asking Mr. Comey to call the Clinton email probe a matter and not an investigation,
right,
and then saying,
yep,
that was what prompted him to go public with his investigation.
That's right. So it really casts a shadow over the Obama administration's investigation of Hillary Clinton's emails. It explains some of Comey's decision-making about why he went public. And it also, to some extent, undermines the idea that some of the very limited comments that President Trump made were really that extraordinary. Is it really to be expected that no political appointees, no elected officials ever say anything about investigations or about how they're going to be, the nature of those investigations are going to be communicated to the public. So, Democrats had to not be quite as happy about those reveals.
I'm no expert, I'm no insider, no pundit, but it didn't strike me that there was any legal damage that came out of Thursday's testimony from Mr. Comey.
No, I don't think so. I mean, the comments about Mike Flynn from the president, are arguably inappropriate. And you might even be able to make a case that, there were things that he shouldn't have done or said. But, I mean, it seems that the president, it's understandable that he would have wanted it communicated to the public that he was not a target of the investigation.
Yeah.
If, in fact, Comey, as he testified, had actually told him multiple times that he wasn't a target. So it had been hinted and implied that Comey had never told him that. Well, both Comey's writing to the Senate Intelligence Committee and his verbal testimony confirmed that he did, in fact, tell Trump that three times that he wasn't a target of the investigation. And then, it's very debatable whether you could really consider Trump's very limited intervention, character witness, however you want to describe it, on behalf of Mike Flynn as some kind of obstruction of justice. So it to me, doesn't seem to have done any legal damage. But obviously, if the Democrats ever had enough power in Congress and we were really talking about an impeachment situation, it a lot of times does come down more on the political judgment that members of Congress make than strict interpretation of legal doctrine.
Thanks, Jim. That's James Antle, politics editor at the Washington Examiner. It's 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Friday. Time now for our weekly look at what we've been searching for the most online over the past few days. We're joined live by Google Trends expert Charlotte Smith. Good morning, Charlotte. It's a guy in Washington. Is the name like James Comey or something like that who's made a lot of news?
Good morning, Gordon. And yes, I believe it's pronounced James Comey, but the former FBI director, as you know, testified in front of the Senate Intelligence Committee yesterday about the investigation into Russian interference in the presidential election. But during his testimony, search interest in Comey Live actually sparked 200% higher than NBA Finals Live in the U.S.
Wow. Were people searching for the word Lordy?
People were not searching for Lordy, but I can tell you that people in D.C. were searching for bars that were screening the testimony. There were lines out the door on a Thursday morning.
Never missed a good opportunity for some early drinking, that's for sure. Sesame Street making news.
Sesame Street is making news this week. Inspired by the Netflix series Orange is the New Black, Sesame Street produced a creative skit to teach kids about the benefits of healthy eating. And that skit is called Orange is the New Snack. And search interest in orange snacks has actually spiked for 900% this week.
Wow.
Very cute.
Very good. Very good. Tell us about man spreading.
Always, of course. Well, this week, Madrid became the most recent city to take a stand on man spreading and public transportation. And for those of you who don't know, manspreading is a term that describes the posture of men who open their legs a little too wide and take up neighboring seats. So Madrid is one of many cities, including New York, to take a stand to preserve personal space.
You know what I was thinking? I do that most often, definitely in a theater.
Because, well, in that case, you want to take up as much room as you can. You don't want people in your popcorn.
That's true. I mean, my knees just go coast to coast wide, and then there's the slump in the chair, and usually within the opening 8 minutes, I'm out. That's whatever movie it is. Also, this YouTube video was really cool. This crushed by a giant 6-foot water balloon by the slow-mo guys.
That is correct. So the slow-mo guys created like a hilarious prank video in which one person lies on a trampoline with a 6-foot water balloon on his stomach. Once it reaches capacity, he pops it. I promise you, it's so mesmerizing. The video has already received over 6.5 million views since being uploaded a couple days ago.
Yeah, I was fascinated. It was pretty cool. I thought what was going to make the video list was this one, this woman, Mandy Harvey. Did you see her, this deaf woman on America's Got Talent? She crushed this singing performance, and I was fascinated because she has to feel the beat of the music through the stage floor, so she doesn't wear shoes. I thought that was going to be the video of the week. If I was a betting man, I would have lost.
Well, you know, America loves their water balloons.
It's true. Definitely true. Finish up with National Best Friends Day.
Well, yesterday was National Best Friends Day, and of course, people took to social media to celebrate their best friends. Some of our top trending questions include, one, what is a best friend? Sad. And then, number two, when is National Embarrass Your Best Friends Day?
Oh.
I thought they were one and the same, but apparently I'm wrong.
Very good. Hey, Charlotte, thanks for a few minutes as always. Google Trends expert Charlotte Smith. 13 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Not available in all states.
Hey, Tracy, heard you started your own business.
Yep, a Reese and Irvy's frozen yogurt vending franchise. It's the latest revolution in healthy frozen yogurt. My robots...
Wait, your robots?
Yep, my robots deliver 7 flavors of delicious and healthy frozen yogurt to customers in high-traffic locations. And Reese and Irvy's provides everything we need to succeed.
And the robots do the work.
They work, so I don't have to.
How can I get my own robots?
Simply go to froyofranchising.com, enter promo code 1616, and submit your information. That's froyofranchising.com, promo code 1616.
Thanks for being with us on this Friday, 8 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koschenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, fired FBI Director James Comey testified that he was confused and concerned when President Trump told the public he was firing him for undermining the morale of the agency he led since 2013, calling the comments lies. Comey says he didn't want to express an opinion on whether Trump was seeking to obstruct the ongoing investigation into Russian meddling in the presidential election, but that he is sure he was fired because of the investigation.
I don't think it's for me to say whether the conversation I had with the president was an effort to obstruct. I took it as a very disturbing thing, very concerning, but that's a conclusion I'm sure the special counsel will work towards.
Following the testimony, House Speaker Paul Ryan said Trump's meetings and phone calls with Comey may have reflected his lack of political experience rather than an effort to pressure the FBI director.
The president's new at this. He's new to government, and so he probably wasn't steeped in the long-running protocols that establish the relationships between DOJ, FBI, and White Houses. He's just new to this.
Meanwhile, the Senate Intelligence Committee expects top presidential advisor and son-in-law Jared Kushner to meet with committee staffers within a few weeks. Kushner has come under FBI scrutiny in the Russia investigation. UK Prime Minister Theresa May says she will not step down after a general election in which her Conservative Party lost its majority in Parliament. Conservatives won 315 seats in the snap election, short of the 326 needed to secure a majority. Labour Party leader Jeremy Corbyn says May should resign.
It was her campaign. It was her decision to call the election. It was her name out there, and she was saying she was doing it to bring about strong and stable government. Well, this morning, it doesn't look like a strong government. It doesn't look like a stable government. It doesn't look like a government that has any program whatsoever.
May is in talks with senior party colleagues about how to form a new government. Well, this might make finding your midnight snack easier. Glow-in-the-dark donuts. A bakery in Sydney, Australia has come up with glow nuts. The treats feature icing that glows under a black light, and they're flying off the shelves.
Nice. You have to buy the black light with it?
Yeah, probably. You need one at home to even see the stupid thing.
Donuts for 39 cents with the accompanying black light for $429. What a bargain. Thanks, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. What dad doesn't love to grill, especially when it's a great steak? Let me tell you about Omaha Steaks. And now this Father's Day, for only $49.99, you can get a limited-time Father's Day package when you go to omahasteaks.com and enter deal in the search bar. Omaha Steaks even offers online support with recipes and wine pairings. Here's the offer, 80% off Omaha Steaks Father's Day package, which includes 2 tender mild filet mignons, 2 beefy top sirloins, 4 crispy chicken fried steaks, 4 juicy boneless pork chops, 4 all-beef Omaha Steak burgers, 4 gourmet jumbo franks, 12 ounces of all-beef meatballs, 1 pound of steakhouse fries, 4 made-from-scratch caramel apple tartlets, 1 Omaha Steak seasoning packet, plus get 4 additional burgers free. Only $49.99 at omahasteaks.com. Type deal in the search bar and add Father's Day package to your cart. This offer ends soon. Go to omahasteaks.com, type deal in the search bar, grab your dad, and fire up the grill. Glad you're with us. Well, it has been a humbling year for the almighty U.S. dollar. Investors have driven its value down to pre-election levels. But the Wall Street Journal says more dispiriting is the greenback's deflated reputation among its most historically devoted support group. Money has been a dominant theme in hip-hop music since it began in the 70s. Puff Daddy, right? Famously rapped in 1997 that it's all about the Benjamins. in his tribute to the $100 bill. But as hip-hop music has become more global, rappers are internationalizing their lyrics too, and references to foreign currencies are multiplying. Peso appeared in 40 rap songs last year, according to the site Rap Genius, while yen was mentioned in 10, the euro in 7, the Indian rupee, Russian ruble, British pound also popping up. One of Remy Banks' favorite currency notes is the Canadian dollar. He hopes next, by the way, to get his hands on the Ethiopian birr, which he has heard carries the scent of exotic spices. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.